from KMXT in Kodiak. This is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, things get exciting in the Sitka Sound sacro herring fishery. The charter halibut industry fights back against restrictions, and the far-reaching and unexpected repercussions of the Ward's Cove sell-off. All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game had fishermen stand down much of this week to allow processors to catch up with what is shaping up to be another good Sitka sacro herring season. After Monday's opening, the third of the fishery, the haul stood at 12,700 tons. Roe recovery has been good at 11%. The Fish and Game stand down was to have been in effect at least until Thursday, so the fleet could already have their nets back in the water by the time you hear this, depending on when your station airs the Alaska Fisheries Report. If you're in the Sitka area, of course, our friends at Raven Radio will have the latest info. As of Monday, there were 6,800 tons left of the 19,490-ton guideline harvest level. Some herring spawn had been spotted near the Sheldon Jackson Hatchery and along the shore of Sitka National Historical Park. Pictures and video from an incident during Friday's opening flooded the series of tubes over the weekend. The Saner Infinite Grace heeled over to starboard, and some of the crew abandoned ship. The skipper was able to right the boat, though, and save the catch. Search for Infinite Grace on YouTube for some dramatic video. A charter halibut organization is suing to block a new limited entry program that could squeeze some of them out of business. But commercial fishermen and some other charter owners support the restrictions. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The group Charter Operators of Alaska filed a complaint this week against the new rules established by NOAA Fisheries Service. The Homer-based organization also asked for an injunction to block limited entry program enforcement. President Jack Roskind runs Not Roughing It Charters out of Whittier. He says the federally mandated limited entry program would kill his business and about 300 others.
They have the authority to regulate the halibut fisheries because it's a federal fisheries. But they don't have the authority to regulate state businesses that own business licenses and operate in the state of Alaska.
The program took effect in February, though it has been planned for years. It only affects operators in Southeast and the Central Gulf, the regulatory areas called 2C and 3A. The program requires those carrying clients on guided halibut trips to have a federal permit, and it limits permits to those who fished in 2008 as well as either 2004 or 2005. The lawsuit seeks to include businesses in existence through 2010. Limited entry is part of a larger regulatory effort affecting charter halibut businesses. Kathy Hansen of the Southeast Alaska Fishermen's Alliance represented commercial interests on a panel that helped develop the plan. She says it was backed by more than longliners.
It was the charter members on the stakeholder committee that wanted the limited entry program. And it's the people who have started business since then because they weren't paying attention or they figured that it just wouldn't go through that are the ones that are complaining and filing a lawsuit at this point in time.
The program is one of several aimed at the charter halibut catch, which has exceeded harvest levels for several years. Commercial fishermen have also faced cutbacks as the overall number of large halibut has shrunk. Their share of the catch dropped by almost half this year. That's in addition to a 60% reduction over the previous 5 years. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Southeast fishermen will be allowed to catch more king salmon this summer. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced that its all-gear Chinook salmon harvest quota will be nearly 295,000 fish. That's an increase of 73,000 king salmon over last year's preseason quota. The annual all-gear harvest level for Southeast is set by the Chinook Technical Committee of the Pacific Salmon Commission. The troll fleet will be allocated around 218,000 kings. That's about 54,000 more than last year. Seiners will be allowed to harvest about 12,600 and gill netters about 8,500. The increased quota means resident sports fishermen will be allocated around 54,000 kings, up from about 41,000 last year. On Tuesday, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council wrapped up its meeting in Anchorage. For the past week, the council and its advisory panel had reviewed changes to the salmon fishery management plan, discussed changes to the Pacific cod jig fishery, and talked about how federal regulations affect cod trawlers. Over the weekend, the council also focused on the state of the Pribilof Islands blue king crab stock and how the dwindling fishery could be rebuilt. It's been over a decade since crabbers have been allowed to harvest the stock, but the blue king crab population has not rebounded since the closure. Now the council is reviewing its rebuilding plan that could close some grounds to flatfish vessels in an attempt to reduce crab bycatch. At the council meeting, both members of the industry and the advisory panel suggested that more analysis needs to be done before a rebuilding plan could be adopted. Many expressed skepticism that extra closures would do anything to help rebuild the stock. But some scientists say that every little effort could help foster population growth since the stock is so fragile. Ben Daly is a research biologist with the Alaska Sea Grant Program, and he's currently studying ways to rebuild king crab stock through hatchery programs.
My understanding is that, you know, closures would be effective to rebuild the adult population structure.
But Daly adds that there are other ways to help blue king crab numbers in the Pribilof Islands. In particular, he's working on research that looks at how to improve the survival of blue king crabs in the face of predation. He's also studying how feasible it would be to raise hatchery-born crabs and then release them into their traditional grounds. Ultimately, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council decided not to take a final action on the Pribilof Islands blue king crab rebuilding plan. The earliest the council could take up the plan again would be at the October council meeting, which will be held in Unalaska. In Unalaska, the Ward's Cove asset sale is hitting locals hard, but not in the way that you might expect. KUCB's Alexandra Gutierrez has more.
It's Tuesday afternoon, and Alyeska Trading Company is a little busier than usual. People are shopping like it's Thanksgiving, but instead of turkeys and yams and potatoes in their carts, you'll see paper towels and ramen noodles and energy drinks. Everything in the store is 30% off. This isn't part of some special sale or anything like that. The store is liquidating, and it's a casualty of a somewhat complicated asset sale made by Ward's Cove, a company that used to be a power player in Alaska's seafood industry.
Alyeska Trading, I hear, is pulling up stakes, so they're having a closeout sale. That was what a friend called me up on and said, hey, they have a closeout sale, one-third off of everything.
That's Robert Gruenhagen. He's got two shopping carts, and they're both overflowing. One has what looks like two dozen boxes of granola bars. The other has a giant stack of pizzas. Gruenhagen says that since groceries are so expensive on the island, it makes sense to stock up on non-perishables when they come at a discount. The big question for him is, will he be able to fit it all in his kitchen?
We got room for 25 pizzas? I hope so.
The Alyeska Trading Company is one of seven Ward's Cove general stores across the state. The other ones are in Hoonah, Nome, and Naknek. Jan Suppler, who is based in Seattle at Ward's Cove's headquarters, says that those stores won't be shutting their doors. The reason Alyeska Trading Company is closing and some place like the Hoonah General Store isn't is because the other outlets aren't tied to valuable seafood assets. Last month, Ward's Cove sold its stake in the Alyeska Seafood's processing plant, where the trading company is located. The Japanese seafood giant Maruha Nichiro went from being the majority owner to being the total owner. Since Maruha doesn't specialize in grocery stores, it didn't make sense for them to keep operating the trading company. For many locals, the disappearance of a convenient spot to pick up groceries will be the most noticeable effect of the Ward's Cove sale. But the deal will also change the dynamics of Unalaska's seafood industry. Maruha also owns Westward Seafoods, and now Alyeska Seafoods will be working much more closely with that subsidiary. Unalaska resident Jennifer Lawler was at Alyeska Trading Company for the liquidation sale, and she says that she has some concerns over what this partnership could mean for local workers.
Hopefully everything will work out for the employees, and there won't be a huge consolidation and layoffs. That would be the thing that I would be the most concerned about.
In addition to selling off all of Alyeska, Ward's Cove also sold off its groundfish fleet to two community development groups. A joint partnership of the Coastal Villages Region Fund and the Northern Sound Economic Development Corporation acquired 7 trawl vessels, along with 4% of the pollock quota. Both groups have made substantial inroads into the seafood industry in the past year. The Coastal Villages Region